This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, magnificent Tuesday. We're going to talk about Marco Rubio, the new and improved Marco Rubio. We'll get to him. Federal judges sitting there on purpose, running people over with snowmobiles, all that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, Marco Rubio, his career, he himself, I find to be interesting. If you are old enough, you remember the emergence of Marco Rubio. He really came up during that Tea Party era. He was a Florida guy, is a Florida guy, and he was super young back then. Well, I guess we all were, but he was young and thought of as being pretty far to the right. And we thought to ourselves, we might have a senator who's decent, and we're always looking for one of those, right? Because there aren't that many of them. Most of our senators are turds, John Cornyn, James Lankford. You know what I mean. Most of our senators suck. And we get him in there, and he's good. But then something happens. Rubio, he makes a critical mistake. I would be willing to bet, and I don't know this because I don't know him. In fact, I've criticized him so many times publicly, I'm sure he hates me, which is fine. But he made a mistake that I bet you he regrets to this day. A group of Republicans, amnesty-loving, open-borders Republicans, joined together with a group of amnesty-loving, open-borders Democrats, and they tried to get through a big amnesty bill. And they did the same thing Washington, D.C. always does when they're trying to sell an amnesty bill. They know the American people don't want amnesty. So every single time they try to sell it as a border security bill, where they give you 25 feet of wall in exchange for giving American citizenship to 25 million illegals. They do the same thing every time. It's how James Lankford tried to sell that amnesty bill last year when he joined with the Democrats to try to sell the amnesty bill. Did he go on TV and talk about all the amnesty it gave away? No. Oh, we're going to secure the border. And they do the same thing all the time. Rubio, he joins this group and immediately he found out something that I've known for the longest time, something Trump most definitely knows, something smart Republicans know and dumb Republicans don't. When it comes to immigration, specifically illegal immigration, Republican voters, the Republican base, has been so screwed over so many times by its own representatives, by our own GOPers, that if you take a hard-line stance, this is a lesson for every one of you thinking about running for office. If you take a hard-line stance on illegal immigration as a Republican, you can be a complete rhino moderate squish loser on virtually every other issue. But because you took a hard-line stance on immigration, you will be praised as the conservative God, as the second coming of Washington, Jefferson, and everybody rolled into one. All you have to do is take an extreme, not even an extreme, take any kind of a right-wing stance on illegal immigration, and the right, who has been so beaten down, will immediately hold you up and make you their king. I've seen it happen in small ways and big ways. People forget our governor. In Arizona, we had a governor in Arizona. It doesn't matter who she is. But we had a governor when I was in Arizona. She wasn't even really far to the right at all. She raised taxes, did all kinds of things. But She signed a bill, SB 1070, I believe was the name of the bill. It got all kinds of national controversy at the time. It was an illegal immigration bill, and it was the most benign thing you've ever seen in the world. I don't remember all the details, but it was basic things like the traffic cop can ask for your papers. Like, it was stuff like that. It was the most benign illegal immigration bill, and this pretty moderate woman was immediately made into a king in the GOP for signing that bill. Donald Trump, do you remember what specifically catapulted Donald Trump into being the face of the GOP for the last decade? Do you remember what it was? It wasn't running for president. Everyone knew about Donald Trump before that. It wasn't coming down the gold escalator. It wasn't any of that. What took Donald Trump from yet another guy running for president to being the nominee was one speech. Now, he's given several since then, but it was his opening speech. Guy comes out, announces he's running for office. We don't know anything else about him. Taxes, spending, abortion, nothing else. What's he say? Freaking Mexico, they're sending a bunch of criminals over here. That's who's coming across the border. Criminals. Boom. Darling of the GOP for a decade, ever since. But for Marco Rubio and for other Republicans like him, they find out the hard way that that one issue, it can work against you in the exact same way. You can have, as far as, you know, conservative principles go, the most sterling voting record humanly possible on guns, on taxes, on spending. You can have a sparkling clean record that shows you are the ultimate fighter for liberty. But if you screw us over on immigration, you try to pass an amnesty bill, boom, you have put a cap, you have put a ceiling on your career you may never be able to overcome. Marco Rubio, conservative darling, gets into the United States Senate. He's doing just fine and gets himself snookered. Snookered into signing on to an amnesty bill that didn't even get passed. It was so unpopular. The people who tried to pass it were so hated. It didn't even get passed. Presidential aspirations gone. Turned into what was basically a punchline the first time he ran against Trump. Remember this? First time he ran against Trump, was it 2016? Trump's up there making fun of how small he is. He's not even small. I think he's like 6 feet tall. But Trump's calling him Little Marco, just openly mocking him. Trashed. And everybody after that kind of thought, well, I mean, it's Senator. It's not like it's a bad thing if that's as high as you rise. But I think Senator Rubio is about all we're going to ever see. I don't know what happened. I've been told that somebody really sharp got in his ear and started giving him good advice. This guy's awesome.
Our immigration policy should be based on the national interest of the United States, period, end of story. If there is a subset of people that are easier to vet, who we have a better understanding of who they are and what they're going to do when they come here, they're going to receive preference, no doubt about it. There are a lot of sad stories around the world, millions and millions of people around the world. It's heartbreaking. We cannot assume millions and millions of people around the world. No country can. So you have to have a process of deciding who do you prioritize, who do you allow in. We do it all the time. We do it in our immigration system now under our current laws. Unfortunately, it's primarily based on family connection and not on what they're going to contribute to the society from a merit standpoint. That should be changed, but that'll require statutory changes. But the bottom line is, this notion that somehow we have to accept anyone who wants to come to the United States is absurd. No country in the world has an immigration policy like that.
This guy's awesome. I can't believe how amazing he is. He might be arrested for how badly he brutalized poor Tim Kaine today.
Ray says you are entitled to entrance as a refugee if you demonstrate a well-justified fear of persecution.
No, you're not entitled.
So
you're allowed.
Can you have a different standard based upon the color of somebody's skin? Would that be acceptable?
Well, I'm not the one arguing that. Apparently you are, because you don't like the fact that they're white, and that's why they're coming.
I'm just asking you to say that would be unacceptable.
Well, no, I would say that the United States...
a very easy thing to say.
The United States has a right to pick and choose who they allow into the United States.
Even based on the color of somebody's skin.
No, you're the one that's talking about the color of their skin, not me. These
you're
are people whose farms were being burned down and they were killed because of the color of their skin.
Marco Rubio. Listen to this guy. Listen to him. Listen to what he says. Remember Van Hollen, that idiot Democrat who flew down to El Salvador and made a big jerk out of himself, took that gang member we sent down there, took him out to lunch. Rubio brought it up today.
In the case of El Salvador, absolutely. Absolutely. We deported gang members. Gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and that and the evidence is going to be clear in the days to come. You're
Chairman,
going to see who you went to
defend. I'm sorry,
please,
Mr. Chairman.
Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated
Senator,
comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor. You
Secretary
had your
Rubio
time.
Should take that testimony to the federal
Senator,
court in the United States because he hasn't done it under oath.
Listen, did you hear how badly that got to Van Hollen? The Democrats never think things through. They're just savages who respond to the latest impulse, almost like a puppy when he's surrounded by little steak chunks. Senator Van Hollen, how did you think it was going to land when you hopped on a taxpayer-funded plane and flew to El Salvador to have dinner with an MS-13 gang member? How did you think that was going to land, you psycho? All right, I'll give Rubio props one more time, and then we're moving on, and we're going to talk about the judges, and we're going to talk about emails, and we're going to talk about the fact that you are still shortchanging yourself on the meat you purchase because you haven't gotten an IQ sense yet, and this is the greatest thing ever. And let me just, as a side note, housewarming gifts, there is no better housewarming gift than an IQ sense. Wireless cooking thermometer from Chef IQ, there's no better housewarming gift. Wedding gift, nothing better. Baby shower, I'm sure the kids will like it too. Whatever it is, whatever the occasion is, get yourself an IQ sense. July 4th is coming up. Do you want to be the star of your neighborhood cookout? Go get yourself a big chunk of meat. Put an IQ sense or two in it. Put it on the grill, on the smoker, in the oven, and forget about it. Your phone will tell you when it's done. And because you're cooking to temperature, it's done perfectly every time. Pull it out, let it rest, scarf, and pretend to be a pitmaster like I do. You want to save 15%? ChefIQ.com, promo code Jesse. ChefIQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. One last little shout out to Rubio. Man, he's got some spice now.
I have to tell you directly and personally that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. I yield back.
May I respond?
You may, sir.
Well, first of all, your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job.
Hey, Jesse, what's your shoe size? That's a very weird question. 14s? What, Chris? Why are you sneering at that? What? 14s? Oh, it's a huge pain in the rear end. See, nobody carries it. You see, stores cap out at 12 or 13. Nobody carries 14. You have to special. Oh, you'd hate it, Chris. Think about the cost. You have to order what? Hear me out. You have to order all your shoes. You have to order everything. It's awful. You can't buy jeans. You can't buy anything. Hey, Jesse, what's your opinion of Sammy the Bull Gravano? He's a criminal and a murderer. That's my opinion of Sammy the Bull Gravano. And you know what's funny about these guys? I'll tell you this. Obviously, everyone knows Sammy the Bull was John Gotti's second in command, and in order to stay out of prison, cuts a deal with the government, informs on, you got the whole thing. But what's so fascinating about his story and how often I see the same story is, so here's a guy, he essentially ratted out the boss of the Gambino crime family, and he's so ingrained with criminality. I mean, he came up, that's all he knew, that he couldn't even stay in the witness protection program. He just left to go start his own drug ring. I think it was in Arizona. Was it in Arizona, Chris? Yeah, just these guys. And it's, I think the stories are fascinating. I've always found that life fascinating, as most men do. It's just, it's fascinating from the outside looking in. But when you, because I geek out on mob stuff, it's crazy how often these guys, they just grew up as criminals and they don't know and can't know and don't want to know any other way to live. That's the only life they have ever known, is hustling, thieving, finding some way to do something. They started out as kids, most of them little kids. I remember Bugsy Siegel. You know who Bugsy Siegel is? Everyone knows who Bugsy Siegel is. Famous Jewish gangster. He was very good friends with Meyer Lansky, the real big shot, kind of the Jewish mafia mob boss. They were all in with Lucky Luciano and kind of the OGs of the American mafia, Bugsy Siegel. Well, Bugsy Siegel was muscle. He was always killing people. That's really what he did well. He killed people. But Bugsy Siegel's story started out, he was a teenage boy. I think a young teenage boy, like 13, 14 too. And he and his friends, they had fruit carts, if I remember right. Fruit carts at the time in New York. And they still have them. You can go buy fruit from carts, but guys would just sell their fruits on the street corner. And Bugsy Siegel and his friends would simply go up and say, hey, we're going to need a cut. And if we don't, something bad's going to happen to your fruit stand. Period. And we'll set fire to the whole thing. As a 13-year-old boy, he doesn't know any other way. There's no other way for him to live. He's a gangster. That's what he is. Speaking of gangster, RFK Jr. did pretty well.
I also want to point out,
I have just 2 minutes left.
This hag he's talking to is Patty Murray.
I also want to point out,
I have just 2 minutes left. I asked you a specific question.
I want to point out something, Senator. You've presided here, I think, for 32 years. You presided over the destruction of the health of the American people.
Well, I have.
Our people are now the sickest people in the world.
Seriously.
Because you have not done your job.
Seriously. That is an amazing...
What have you done about it? What have you done about the epidemic of chronic disease?
Mr. Secretary,
what have you done about the epidemic of chronic disease?
Seriously, Madam
Secretary, I would ask you to hold back and let the Senator ask the questions.
You know, he's upset, obviously, but it's such a great question to ask so many of these people who've been there so long. What have you actually done? And of course, you know what the truth is. They haven't done anything, and they don't intend to do anything. They're there for themselves. They're not there for you. They're not there for me. They're there to fill up their pockets and feel important to be called senator and get private security and get a steak bought for them every now and then. And, you get senator on your tombstone, and maybe a foreign dignitary will show up if you've been a good little boy for long enough. But they're not actually there to do anything for us. They're there to ensure the system of corruption remains in place, which is exactly why, this is from Excess of Democracy, federal judges are retiring at a recent record slow pace in 2025. See, there are only so many federal vacancies, right? And most of these judges are older, closer to retirement age. But wouldn't you know, right as Donald Trump takes over and starts actually trying to make significant changes to the corrupt system, these judges have decided they're just not in the mood to retire anymore. That's what I mean about just protecting the system in place. All right, we need to talk about running into people with snowmobiles, because there's a story out, and it gave me a fantastic idea. And then we'll talk a little bit more about Democrats' hatred of white people and constitutional crisis and other things. Let's do this email. Hey, Jesse. I can't believe you didn't turn the Biden news into a chalk plug. They said his cancer is reacting to hormone treatment. The hormone treatment is lowering your testosterone, which has the side effect of cognitive issues. If you don't want to have cognitive issues, you need to go to chalk and boost your testosterone. The guy says the RV salesman is fading. Look, I wasn't going to do that because that would be a lousy thing to do. And I'm not just going to take some random unrelated story and turn it into an ad about the anti-communists at Chalk, who will have you feeling magnificent every single day with natural herbal supplements. I tell you about Chalk because I take Chalk every single day. Bacon, eggs, maybe breakfast tacos, and a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. and the difference in my life. It only gets better and better as you go, you should note. Because 60 days in, you're going to know. You're going to say, wow, I'm full of energy. This feels great. Wait till you hit a year. You won't even feel like the same person. Natural herbal supplements from people who love us. Chuck.com. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. All right. So there's a story out of Wyoming. There's a ban on, well, they're trying to get a ban on, well, here's the headline. Ban on chasing and striking Wyoming's wildlife with snowmobiles is rejected again by the legislative committee. Now, well, I'm going to set aside this particular topic because that's a really, truly awful thing to do, to purposely run over animals or hit animals with your snowmobile. And it's amazing that there's a place where that's that common. Either way, we're going to set that aside because I had another idea. Don't shake your head, Chris. Hear me out. Hear me out. Snowmobile jousting. Oh, yeah. You see that? You see that? Chris was ready to dump all over it, and then I dropped that little nuggy on him, and now he's listening. Snowmobile jousting. Think about this. Think about this. You'd probably have to have the snowmobiles on tracks because snowmobiles... Now, listen, listen. You'd have to... What I'm worried about is you can't have the snowmobiles running into each other head-to-head because then somebody's going to die. Those things are heavy and they go really fast. But what, Chris, what? I know the danger is what makes it fun. Are you not understanding that there's still a spear involved here? We don't have to add a high-speed head-to-head collision on top of it. Why are you rubbing your head? We put the, even if they're not on tracks, there's a barrier that prevents you from running. That's all I'm worried about, is running headlong into somebody. A spear, a helmet. We'll have to decide on the levels of body armor, and we're going to have to decide on an appropriate speed, because it's probably not doable if you're doing 70 miles an hour, maybe risking some bodily injury there. Tell me you wouldn't go snowmobile jousting. What, Chris? Do they work on sand? Snowmobiles? You'd probably dig in, buddy. Maybe. I mean, I guess they might, but you'd probably dig in. The prep. We need a sponsor. Chalk would be game. I could already tell you right now that Chalk will be game. I guarantee you Chalk will be game. They'll be like, yeah, that's like the most manly thing I've ever seen in my entire... I guarantee Chalk will be game. Snowmobile jousting. Putting it out there? If somebody wants to do something about it, it's up to you. But I mean, I guess it probably would be the whitest sport ever. Wait till Ellie Mistel comes out about this.
This election has proven that this administration has proven painfully in some ways is that black people cannot save this country from white folks. We can't do it alone, right? If white folks aren't going to join in, if white women aren't going to join in, if Latinos aren't going to join in, we can't do it alone.
Now, maybe you're focusing on the racial aspect of that, but if you are, you're missing it. You're missing what's really in his heart. And yes, I know he hates white people. I got all that. But what's his frustration, really? Is it with actual skin color? No. His frustration is the different groups that aren't helping the revolution. And specifically, his problem is with white people. That's why you've seen a huge uptick in anti-white rhetoric from Democrats, both in the media and elected Democrats. That's why you've heard so much of this white boy this and white that and colonizer that. What is that a result of? Yes, it's a result of a bunch of really sick, gross skin color revolution stuff. But what it's really a result of, they looked at the election results. They looked at the different demographics after Donald Trump won the election, and they didn't come to the conclusion that they should stop lying. They didn't come to the conclusion that maybe we shouldn't have opened the border. Maybe we shouldn't have lied. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. That's not how communists think. They looked at the demographics of the country and how the demographics voted, and they identified the people most likely to vote against them, the people likely to oppose their revolution. And because communists always think like this, they think to themselves, well, how do we wipe out that whole group of people? Because if I'm trying to win an election and half the country keeps voting against me, and I look at half the country, what makes up half that country? And you know what? White people make up a huge chunk of that. Well, if I'm a communist without any care for humanity whatsoever, and if I don't want to reform any of my own sick views, then it's a pretty easy solution, isn't it? Got to get rid of the white people. That's why they talk like this. It's not really about color. It's about who's a friend and who's an enemy.
This election has proven that this administration has proven painfully in some ways is that black people cannot save this country from white folks. We can't do it alone, right? If white folks aren't going to join in, if white women aren't going to join in, if Latinos aren't going to join in, we can't do it alone.
You hear that? Even the Latinos got astray there. Why? They voted for Trump. You hear his frustration is not with the color. It's with who's helping the revolution and who's not. And those who oppose him, well, they're his enemies. Hey, Jesse, I just want to give you proof that your show is working. Here's something I was able to figure out because of your show. The new commie buzzword, constitutional crisis, is also to use my morals against me. 100% correct. 100% correct. When they select their language, they are so careful about it, and they meticulously will select it. And once they have decided on the language, they will strictly police each other with that language. And the language is always, 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 always designed to deceive. That is the whole point of communist buzzwords, communist terms. It's never honest. It was carefully selected because it threads that needle of A, using your morals against you. So that's why it becomes a constitutional crisis when they're talking to you, because they know that you care about the Constitution. So A, it has to use your morals against you, and B, it has to lie. It has to cover up whatever is actually going on. These people lie about everything at all times. Not small lies either. Gigantic, big, huge lies. And that's what they believe. You get in trouble not for telling a lie if you're a communist. You get in trouble for telling the truth. They have to lie. Otherwise, the entire thing falls apart. Let me play you once again. Senator Eric Schmidt having a little chat with Jennifer Daskal. She was the Disinformation Governance Board big cheese.
Is your position that it would have been appropriate for the government to work with social media companies to censor points of view that maybe COVID-19 originated in China?
Senator, it's my view that it's not appropriate for the government to censor any points of view.
Literally, you were a part of the Disinformation Governance Board of the United States of America. My contention is the Orwellian name of Ministry of Truth was already taken, so the Disinformation Governance Board slid right in, and you were a big part of this. I mean, you wrote the charter, and so I find it kind of rich that you're here expressing concerns about First Amendment concerns about anything. A federal district court judge said this was the biggest affront to the First Amendment in the history of the United States of America, this censorship enterprise that the Biden administration engaged in, that you were a big part of.
They lie all the time. They have to control information all the time because it's all based on deception and force. That's why they don't want you posting whatever you want on Facebook. All right, we'll do a couple emails and do headlines next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. I want to read you something really quickly before we get to emails and headlines, but it's, well, it's confirming something that I've talked about, and it's nice to hear some people are aware of it, some people in positions of authority. When it comes to the courts, like the Supreme Court and these district courts, the justice system, it really applies to everything, every institution, but we'll keep it about the courts for now. People, myself included, have been angry at these courts for stopping things like deportation. But what, remember what I said about it. In the end, it is the court itself that is being hurt. It's not just the country. The court itself is being hurt because the court only has legitimacy as long as the American people give it their trust. When the American people remove that trust, then the court itself, its days are numbered, because the American people will simply choose somebody who will stomp on the court. You can't do whatever you want and say, I'm on the Supreme Court. That's not how it works. You only continue to exist with the public trust. And again, this applies to every institution, FBI, everything. You only get to continue to have authority and exist based on the public's trust, the public granting you legitimacy. If the public takes that away because of your repeated violations, then your days are numbered. You're done. So there's this judge, James Ho. I want to give Julie Kelly credit. She's the one who reported it. The Supreme Court took this case and they kicked it back down to the Supreme, or they kicked it back down to the Fifth Circuit. And this judge, James Ho, he's a good guy. He's one of us. I'm just going to read you a little statement right along the lines of what I've been telling you. Listen to what he says. So I concur in our order today, expediting our consideration of this matter as directed by the Supreme Court. But I write to state my sincere concerns about how the district judge, as well as the president and other officials, have been treated in this case, is the best part. I worry that the disrespect they have shown will not inspire continued respect for the judiciary, without which we can no longer function. These communist savages take over all these district court positions, and they do what, well, warriors for the revolution. They use their position to, hey, we'll stop Trump here and we'll stop Trump there. But as all things, it's a short-term communist win that will end up resulting in a long-term communist loss. You can enjoy yourself now because you're an animal in a black robe stopping deportation. But what will come, Trump won't do it, but somebody will. Somebody's going to come along and he's not going to care about your rulings. And you know what? The American people who elect him, they'll want him not to care about your rulings. Think about this right now in case you doubt what I just said. Think about this. You're frustrated with these injunctions against Trump. I'm frustrated too. Think about 4 years of this, because that's what it's going to be. No, you can't deport these guys. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't fire these government people. Think about where your anger will be in 2028. Now picture this. There are two candidates on stage. Maybe you like them equally. We'll call it DeSantis and J.D. Vance. Those would be two names you'd know. Let's say you like them both. I really like them both. We get a lot of emails like that. I like them both. I like them both. Sounds good. One of them gets up and says, hey, Supreme Court made a decision, and now we've just got to kind of go with it. And the next one gets up and says, I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I'll arrest anybody, including Supreme Court judges, who try to stop me from deporting illegals. Which candidate are you going to vote for? You see what I mean? The judge is 100% correct. Judge James Ho is 100% correct. In the long term, it's the court that's being harmed. And institutions, corrupt, evil institutions, can never seem to see this when they're doing it. The FBI couldn't do it when they were raiding Mar-a-Lago, when they were arresting pro-lifers, when they were jotting down the license plate number of school board moms. They were just whipping themselves up into a communist lather, going after all their political enemies, all the power in the world. We got them, guys. We got them. Ha, ha, ha. We got them. We got them. We're getting them. Ha. We can do whatever we want. Now? Now? Go ahead and bring up the three letters FBI in most right-wing circles in this country. people will roll their eyes, sneer, and scoff. I've told you before. Not that I would talk to any law enforcement officer without an attorney present. I will never, ever work with the FBI in any capacity. They could knock on my front door right now and tell me they're looking for a bank robber in my neighborhood. I'd slam the door in their face because I'd assume they're lying and trapping me, something like that. 10 years ago, I would never have done something like that. What changed? Was it me? No. You took the trust. You took the legitimacy. You flushed it down the toilet. And now you get what you get. Don't throw a fit. Also, look, the debt crisis, you know it's not going to get fixed. Listen to these people.
We're repealing and rolling back over $500 billion in funding for the radical Green New Deal policies from Biden's so-called Inflation Reduction Act. We call it the Inflation Act. We're ending Biden's war on American energy. We're banning Medicaid.
Yeah, they're trying to pass a $1.5 trillion bill. Please get some precious metals as part of your retirement account because nothing's going to stop the debt train that's coming. It is coming. I don't know when it will finally arrive, but it's coming. It is. It's inevitable at this point in time. It's gravity. Let Gold Co. make sure you don't lose your whole retirement. Gold Co. is the one that's helped thousands of Americans like me. $3 billion in gold and silver they've placed. No, that wasn't all me, which is sad, but still, $3 billion. They'll give you a free copy of a 2025 gold and silver kit. Let them take care of you. Oh, by the way, you could qualify for $15,000 in bonus silver. 855-817-GOLD. It's what lasts. Or you can go to jessielikesgold.com. I love that website.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By the gold, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Court to decide if Tasmanian supermarket discriminated by not allowing an alpaca in the store. I only brought this up for the gentlemen out there. Fellas, don't ever let your wife lay eyes on an alpaca. I've seen this multiple times. It's universal. Women will see one and they will want one, and it becomes a nightmare. Florida's Miami-Dade County flips red in voter registration for the first time in history. This goes back to why Ellie Mistel threw in the Latinos at the end of his little rant. They've watched as the Democrat Party has lost Latinos in this country. But hey, you guys should have another tranny parade for sure. Education Department launches investigation into UPenn over foreign donations. An unbelievable amount of higher education institutions in this country exist on foreign commie money. Anyway, we'll be back for Hump Day to do it again tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.